Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm an intuitive psychotherapist practicing as a licensed clinical social worker. And I really appreciate those of you that are subscribing and sharing this podcast. I encourage you to please keep doing that and reaching out to me about intuitive therapy sessions. I do phone, Skype, FaceTime, and in-person sessions with you. I am available also in office in either New Orleans or the Los Angeles area. I have offices in both cities, and you can follow me on social media. I love that. It is NOLA Therapy, NOLATHERAPY. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. That is my website as well, nolatherapy.com. Please connect with me. I would love to work with you, hear what you think about this podcast, if you're interested in being a guest. And thank you so much for your support. And I would love for you to join my email list. I am working on developing and growing that list. So on the homepage of NOLA Therapy, you will see a place to click and add your email to it. And if you would like to support my work as a podcaster, I encourage you to do so through the campaign I have with Patreon. They are a fantastic crowdfunding site for artists and authors and podcasters. You can find my page by going to patreon.com/allthingstherapy. My guest, who is going to be with us very soon, is Angela Preetam. And I'm going to give her website in case you want to follow along. It's her name, angelapreetam.com, spelled PREDHOMME.com. She is a singer and songwriter that plays really beautiful, laid-back, feel-good, and positive music. She writes her songs to inspire people, to inspire hope, to help them to heal. And you can find her on Apple Music, Pandora, on Spotify. And her social media, to just know where you can find her, is angelapreetam.com. Like I said, Angela Preetam on Facebook, on Twitter. She's a YouTube channel under her name. And she has been, you've heard her music, in the Hallmark movie Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane, on Lifetime's hit show Dance Moms. Her music has been featured in at least a couple of commercials for ING Bank and Fiat. And right now we are actually going to enjoy a clip of one of her songs called Hidden Wings right now. Welcome, Angela. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Lisa.
You are so welcome. Tell us about that song, Hidden Wings, that we just heard a small clip of.
Oh, you know, I'm so excited about that song. You know, I wrote it as I was really making a commitment to really, you know, do music full time. And, you know, it's scary, you know, I mean, as you know, in like streaming music, you know, it's not like a high paying thing, you know, in music, there's a few people at the top that make a lot of money. And there's a lot of really great independent artists that, you know, really struggle financially. But anyways, it's just, I just feel like it's what I was born to do. And I just started to throw myself into it. So Hidden Wings, I wrote it about that, about, okay, I'm going to stop being practical, and, you know, sensible, and I'm going to just follow my passion and do what I feel like I was born to do.
That's beautiful. You know, if I'm correct in my research, was the piano the first instrument that you began to play when you were young?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the piano. I started that at about age 10 or so. I think it was in about fifth grade. And, you know, I'm really grateful to my parents for you know, giving me lessons. You know, we got a piano in the house after my grandmother moved into a condo. And she had had a piano, and nobody really in their family had ever really played it much. And, it changed my life. You know, it was in our living room, and I just loved it. I took to it. I started playing things by ear, and then I took lessons, and I just loved it, you know. And I, you know, did a lot of classical training and stuff like that, you know, well before I sang.
Okay. Yeah. So where do you want to start with our discussion about you, your music, what's important to you? And do you want to start when how you came to music as a young person, or more about where you are now?
Well, let's see. I can start a little bit where I am now and maybe go backwards. But, you know, I've really done a lot of...
Yeah, go back. That's cool.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of introspection about, you know, I had to really ask myself, well, what do I want? And, you know, it's important to me to be myself and to be authentic. And, you know, it's easy to kind of chase what's popular right now. It's like, well, I'd be trying to emulate, you know, other artists that are having hits and things like that, or certain markets and all that. But I'm just kind of doing my own thing, and, you know, it's working out, and I really enjoy it. And you know, I started realizing, okay, you know, nobody's perfect. I mean, well, I shouldn't even say perfect, but nobody's positive all the time, right? I mean, there are some things that I would be happy to sit there and criticize and complain about, you know, in songs, you know, but I started realizing, you know, I'm putting this out to the world. And if I can make somebody, if I can uplift somebody for even 3 minutes, you know, if I can make them think, make them feel, connect with them. So I made a conscious choice that, you know, in my creative work that I'm putting out there to the world, I'm not just doing this in my living room, you know, it's like, if I'm doing music to be heard, you know, other people don't need to hear, you know, my personal negativity and drama, you know, I mean, that doesn't really help anything unless, you know, I do have a song on an upcoming album that will be released later this summer. It's called Let It Play On While I Cry. And that's not positive, but I figured that one is about it. You know, it's really about healing. So if I'm not uplifting, I want to encourage people to heal and let, you know, that it's okay. It's okay if you feel pain and all that stuff.
I think when you're speaking to the city, music as ethical, that music does evoke emotion, that it can change our, it can be used to change our emotional state. We can listen to music that makes us feel better or that makes us feel worse. Angry, depressed, or a sense of peace, calm, love. And so I really sense that from your songs. They do have such a bluesy, soulful, like, sound and feel and vibe to them that when I started listening to your music just earlier this week, I just felt more relaxed. And is that what you were thinking about? How do you approach recording and going into the studio? Like, what is that experience like for you?
Well, you know, it's really great. You know, like, sometimes I find that if I'm not very happy in my life or just have a lot of anxiety or depression or something, it's always when I haven't been doing music, right? So it's just when I, even if I'm practicing for a gig or something, it just makes me feel good. I mean, singing and letting the music come through me, I mean, I kind of feel like it's a form of channeling. I mean, I feel like that.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, the music itself, I just feel like it's like a higher vibration, you know, and it's coming through me and it feels amazing. I mean, it feels wonderful. So it's great, you know. So anyways, when I'm you know, when I'm writing the creative process, you know, when I'm writing it, it feels, I just get so energized and I feel so alive, and it's great. And then, you know, the recording process is kind of the final step. It's like, okay, I finally have the song where I want it. I've tweaked all the lyrics. I've gotten feedback from songwriting groups. And, you know, I mean, so recording is the final step. And I'm kind of a perfectionist with that. I mean, this recent music, you know, like Hidden Wings, I produced myself. And so, you know, producing yourself, you know, I'm directing kind of every aspect of it. And, you know, so I hired musicians I trust. And then for Hidden Wings, I had this vision of having a choir, and I'm an independent artist. You know, I'm not on a big label. I don't have the budget to go get a really awesome gospel choir, you know, and, you know, and have really great recordings. So my daughter, went to the University of Michigan, and we're pretty close to there. I live like just north of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And she had a friend. So she had a friend that was in the men's glee club, and their glee club is amazing. You know, I mean, it's this like really historic thing, and they're just really good, and they have to audition to get in there. So anyways, I asked about, you know, do you think some guys would do this? And so we got some people together, and they just, you know, they volunteered to do it. And it was actually during their final exam week, which I was so grateful they made the time. So they did it during their final exam week. And then one of the singers that volunteered was learning studio production. So we got to record it at the University of Michigan.
Okay, that's like, cool.
Learning at their studio. Yeah, it was awesome, you know, so it came together like really low budget for me. I mean, I did pay all of the guys, but it wasn't a whole lot, you know, and I got to use the studio for free. And I mean, it was amazing, you know, so I feel so blessed that I was able to get a really incredible choir sound. It just came together like magic, you know.
And I think what you're talking about, the deeper truth, is when we're committed to something that the doors open for us in the most sometimes unexpected ways that you would have no idea you'll be recording at the university with this amazing men's choir. And I feel like more of that is on the horizon for you, Angela, as you keep pushing your own boundaries because you're dedicated to get your music out here to us.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, I think it's important that people know that, you know, if you have that vision of what you want, sometimes it seems like there are blocks, but maybe that's a blessing in disguise. You know, like there were other choirs that I asked, and, you know, there was somebody I knew that was at a local church choir, and that person didn't, you know, the director just kept not getting back to me and other things. And then I asked somebody else, some other gospel choir, and they didn't get back to me. And I was kind of like, oh gosh, how am I going to get the choir? This just isn't working. And then, you know, my daughter said, oh yeah, my friend, they're doing a Glee Club concert. Do you want to go? And so I wasn't even expecting that when I went to the Glee Club concert. And then I had this idea. I was like, hey, maybe I could ask some of these guys.
Yes.
So yeah, you know, it seemed like it wasn't going to work out, but then it just magically did. And I think that the key is kind of staying the course. Staying the course and not get through adversity of whatever people's goals are.
Absolutely. I agree with you with staying the course. How long have you been recording and putting music out, Angela?
It's been about 10 years.
Awesome.
I started later in life. Yeah, it's funny, you know, I played the piano when I was a kid, and, you know, I was very insecure. I was very shy. I never dreamed of singing. I was never in a choir or anything like that. And I didn't open my mouth to sing until I was like in my late 20s, really. And I was singing to my daughter. And you know what? I actually thought, you know what? I don't sound too bad. And then I got an acoustic guitar, and, you know, and I just kept getting more and more serious about it, and it took so much. I mean, I had to overcome so much fear because, you know, what it's like to be, you know, I mean, you can imagine people that are, how it feels to go and sing solo and everybody can hear you and you're so vulnerable. And so I overcame all that stuff. And I was so fortunate that I had some people around me in music and they gave me pretty positive feedback. So I thought, okay, I must sound okay. And, you know, I just kept getting encouragement from music people I was working with, you know, guitar teachers and, you know, people like that. And so I just kept going with it. And then it's funny, in college, you know, I went back to school to get a master's after I had my kids. And I was like, okay, I'll do this one credit voice class. And I was already singing. I was already singing and playing the guitar, but I wasn't like super serious about it. So this class was, you know, it was at Eastern Michigan University, and it was, you know, I mean, it was opera type professional teaching it. And so I really learned how to sing. I mean, I, you know, it was classical singing, and I learned all the technique and I learned everything. So I just really went with it, you know?
Yeah. So cool. So when you perform now, has it gotten comfortable or do you still feel some nervousness? How is that experience of live performance?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of comfortable behind the piano because I don't have to be like out there, you know, like dancing. I mean, I'm not going to dance or anything, you know. I mean, I'm a middle-aged lady, you know.
So, that's great.
You know, behind the piano, I'm pretty comfortable. Sometimes I do get nervous, you know, talking or just I get nervous that I'm going to mess something up if I've tried to memorize, you know, like if I memorize the songs, I'm always worried I'm going to forget something. Because, you know, on the piano, you got 10 fingers. You know, there's a lot that can go wrong, you know?
Okay, right.
And do you play any instruments?
I don't. It's the one thing I have not done in this lifetime. Okay. And no, I don't.
So you can imagine with that piano, 88 keys in front of you, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of wrong ones you can hit, you know?
Right.
So I get a little bit nervous, but actually what I did go back to school for, when, you know, after my kids were born, was to be a teacher of English as a second language. So I got a master's for teaching ESL. I taught ESL, for several years for, well, mostly at Michigan State University, because they have a big international population there. A lot of people come in from Asian countries and other places, and, you know, some Latin American stuff. And anyway, so I got comfortable as a classroom teacher.
Yeah.
And that helped my performing.
I bet. I bet
because
that would, because you're in front of people.
Stage person. What's that?
Yeah, because you're in front of people then. And so it becomes comfortable.
I mean, you know, honestly, I was never like super, super comfortable in front of a class. I just learned how to fake it, you know? So,
right.
So when I'm, you know, because like usually the first days, you know, the first day of class, it's like you have all these people staring at you and they're totally dead quiet. Mm-hmm. I got more comfortable when I knew them and they knew me.
Yeah.
But at first you're in front of this room full of people and it's, you know, and it's awkward. But I mean, you know, so I had a lot of semesters where I just sucked it up and you know, over pushed through any anxiety. And so that really has helped me to be a performer, and I feel comfortable interacting with a crowd to a certain extent, you know, if they want to interact back. You know,
yes.
There's always the crowds that are like the first day of class. Most of them are like that, actually, and they're dead silent, you know, and they're just staring at you. And and I have to, sometimes I don't look at their eyes. I don't look at their faces sometimes because, you know, it could make me nervous, like, oh, that person's expression. What if they don't like me? What if they're thinking something critical? So I don't even want to have those thoughts. So
right.
I just kind of look up just above their heads or something like that, you know.
You know, I still feel, Yeah, you know, I still feel some nervousness before each podcast. And then I just remind myself I'm connecting with the person and having a dialogue. And I just forget about people listening. And I hope that, you know, together we can create something that is beneficial and helpful and fun, and that people listening can just take away something to share with someone else, to help themselves feel better, or so. And then I just go with it. Even when clients come in, I feel a little nervous, even though I've been a therapist over 20 years, never knowing what someone's going to bring, and wanting to just best meet them in the space where they're at. And so I think that's natural to, when we care about what we're doing, there could be a twinge of anxiety there.
That's amazing that you feel a little nervous, because you've been doing this for like 3 years. And how many podcasts do you have out?
I have over 150 episodes, I am proud to say.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you. Every show is different, though. Like, you're different being an artist, being a recording artist and a musician, you know, compared to. So I love it. I get to learn about new people, places, things, industries. And that's why I was curious about your experience writing your music, then recording it versus in front of a live audience, like how you experience yourself in those different arenas. And even if you have a favorite, do you have a favorite part of this process, Angela, that you really enjoy and feel connected to?
Well, I am more of a natural artist than a natural entertainer. So I feel more comfortable with the creative process. And I like recording, but I don't even necessarily mean recording my vocals, because recording vocals is pitch, pitch, pitch. It's like, okay, I did that wrong. I got to go back and do that again. You know, it's a lot of perfectionism on my part, but I want to be good, you know. But when I'm actually writing the songs and doing the chord changes, and that's definitely my favorite part. The instrumental, you know, really the instrumental music part is probably my favorite. Words can be stressful, you know, because, you know, the really great songwriters, you know, like Carole King and Diane Warren, and, you know, I mean, there's definitely a formula, you know. There are things that work with songwriting, and there are things that don't work, and it's a whole craft, and it takes a lot of study, and to get your point across in a way that people understand it, and it's effective, and it makes them feel something. And you have like 3 minutes and everything has to rhyme. And, you know, it's not like natural speaking like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the music, I mean, the music comes like super naturally to me, and I just love it, you know. So that's my favorite
beautiful.
Part of it is, I mean, composing.
Composing.
Music.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks.
We are going to take, you're welcome. We're going to take a quick pause to go to a commercial break for my sponsor, and I'll bring you right back on in a little bit over a minute, Angela.
Okay, cool.
So for those of you listening, there's a lot of focus nowadays, and there has been for a while, on diet and exercise and our physical health. Equally important is our digestive health, and specifically having balanced microflora in our gut system, in our gut digestive system. The sugary foods that are so easily available, candida and alcohol, can cause an overpopulation of what are called formicutes. They cause inflammation, they cause bloating, they cause irritable bowel syndrome and lethargy. And we need the presence of what are called polyphenols. They are positive gut bugs that help balance out and reduce gas, inflammation, bloating, and that feeling of sluggishness. ATP Science is a company that has been around to bring really good quality science-based nutritional products to the market. They have the answer to balancing out the microflora in our digestive system. Their product is called Gut Right. It is vegan, family-friendly, usable by all ages of people in your family. And as my listener, ATP Science is offering you a 20% discount with free shipping to the first 100 people that go to this website and use the code, it's going to be all capital letters, ATT for All Things Therapy. Go check out this product, Gut Right, at atpscience.com/get Gut Right and use coupon code ATT. And this product will help you to balance out the microflora in your digestive system. Okay, Angela. So I know we briefly emailed about you might be playing a song for us. Is that true?
Oh, sure.
At what point would you like to do that?
Well, since you're asking, now's probably a good time.
Yes. I'm going to mute myself so that there is no background noise.
Okay. I'll tell you. Is that okay?
Say that again, please.
I'll tell you a little bit about the song first.
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
Okay. So this song I'm going to do is called Beautiful Truth. And this song is really important to me. You know, I think that so many of us are kind of plagued with, you know, self-criticism, and we're so hard on ourselves. And I think that self-love is one of the hardest things to master, you know, in life. And, you know, we're always beating ourselves up for something or other, and we're comparing ourselves to people, and we think we're not good enough. So this song is just about, you know, learning to love and accept yourself, and that everyone is beautiful. So it's called Beautiful Truth, and
I love that.
Here we go.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Angela.
Well, thanks so much.
Yeah. And I think there's so much to what you said in introducing the song, as far as we can choose to affirm ourselves by our thinking, or we can criticize and judge ourselves. And it's so important to affirm and praise and support ourselves. I'm a certified thought coach, and I help clients to develop affirming statements to repeat to oneself throughout the day to counter the negative and critical thoughts that we think.
You know, that's so important. And, you know, when I started doing things like that, you know, it feels weird at first because, you know, you're not raised to talk to yourself and say, oh, you did a good job with that. That was great. Oh, look at, you know, you're not really raised to give yourself those. Well, most of us, you know, aren't raised to give ourselves those appreciating messages. But, you know, it changes everything. You know, I mean, yeah, those thoughts that we have and the positive thoughts about ourselves and encouraging ourselves, that's just the key to everything, you know.
It is. And I think, like you said as well, that I think a lot of us aren't taught that it's actually necessary. We tend to think it's like being full of ourselves. If we're saying, you know, I am a wonderful and important person, I am the most important person in my universe, we tend to think that's being really like selfish in a negative way. Yet if we're not telling ourselves those messages, we tend to lean too far towards people pleasing, undervaluing ourselves, selling ourselves short in different ways, and then encountering emotional problems, depression, anxiety, worry, and fear, instead of actually filling our tanks first. Our love tank is how I like to think of it, so that we are truly available to meet the needs of others, and in a way that also we're sustaining and supporting ourselves.
You know, yeah, I totally wholeheartedly agree with all of that. You know, I think that, those messages are so important. And the thing, it's especially true with women, you know, what I've noticed, I mean, we're kind of socialized to give, you know, we're supposed to support everybody else. And so I always, you know, found myself stopping myself like, okay, my needs matter. My needs matter too. It's okay that I put myself first sometimes. It's okay that I take care of my own needs. And the funny thing is, I had to tell myself that, you know.
Yes.
But it's okay, you know, and so that's the best thing.
Yeah. And you mentioned having a daughter. So I imagine that's something that you're teaching her by example through your music and in what you impart to her.
Oh yeah, I have two daughters, and they're fantastic. Yeah, and here in Michigan, we have this rivalry of University of Michigan and Michigan State University, and which is where I taught. And so my younger one is currently at Michigan State University, and so we have the house divided, you know. And when that big game happens every year, it's kind of fun. But you know, I really don't care about sports, so it's just fun to me. But anyways, yeah, I'm definitely my kids are so emotionally healthy. I'm so proud of them. And I made a conscious effort, you know, throughout their lives to do my best, you know, do the best I could to give them all the right messages, positive messages, to believe in themselves and follow their own intuition, you know.
Yes.
Follow their intuition as opposed to the people pleasing, which is such a trap.
It is. It is. Because we think it's going to bring us the love and friends and connections we want. Yet, and it might. I mean, it works for a while, but then we end up not being authentic, going back to the point you brought up earlier on. And I think it can be hard to kind of weed through then, who are we really when we've set ourselves up to be so different? Like, it doesn't feel good to us or the other people in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some of us are raised in environments where being authentic really goes against the grain. You know, like, I was, you know, my family has a lot of accountants and engineers and things like that. I mean, there's nobody was pursuing a creative career, you know. Like, my brother is a drummer, and he's a really good drummer. He's really talented, but he's an engineer too, you know. So, you know, I just kind of had to overcome a lot of, well, people are going to think I'm stupid for trying to do this as a career. It's not, you know, it's not being an accountant or something, you know.
Yeah.
But if I did go that route of people pleasing, I would be miserable.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that I've done the, you know, followed my creative self, because that's really who I am. I mean, this is the real me. It doesn't get any more real than that.
Yes. You know, I also want to ask you, Angela, I think it's cool that your music has been in Hallmark's Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane, on the Lifetime show Dance Moms, on TLC's Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, to mention a few. How did that come your way? And do you enjoy doing that, getting your music in films and such?
You know, it's really cool, because, you know, it really gets it out there. And the way that came about, you know, it was a lot of focus and effort I put into the music industry and how those things happen, right? You know, because it's not like somebody just finds, you know, it's not like somebody just calls you up on the phone, hey, can I use your song, you know, because of, well, how do they find it, you know? So it's really a very, not very glamorous process, but, you know, it requires, you know, I've uploaded my songs to music libraries that are searched by the people in LA or the people
in
the ad agency. And they're all, you know, there's all this meta tagging, all this data that goes with it. So I've spent a lot of time doing all these keywords, you know, so there's keywording and mood. It's like this kind of mood or that kind of mood. So I've put it in the places where it can be found. And that's how those things happened.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, I didn't know anybody, you know, I mean, I'm in Michigan, you know, I don't know people in the film and TV industry, like on a personal basis. I've, you know, met some people, but yeah, they just found it and they used it because it was a good fit. So really it just was me applying myself, putting it in the places where it could be found. I mean, I've done things like, I mean, I've watched, like, with my DVR, I'll take it, and I've watched the end credits of TV shows, and it's like, okay, so they're getting their music from this agency or this music supervisor, you know, and then I've contacted them, you know, just things like that. So I've done everything that I can do. And something really cool came of that, you know.
Tell us.
So the Dance Mom show, there was a song called Epiphany that I did, and it was so interesting because this album I put out in 2013, I did this song called Epiphany. It was the last song on the album. It's this slow ballad where I sing in a high voice, you know, like what some people would call falsetto, but it's called head voice for women. Anyways, it's not pop. I mean, it's a very classical kind of thing, and I just thought, nobody's ever going to hear this, but I really like the song. It's something I really feel. I really want to say, you know, and the song is about, letting go of trying to control everything and having faith. Mm. So it's about having faith that things will work out and just letting go of trying to control everything, because I was kind of I was frustrated with where my music career was going or wasn't going. And so I wrote this song, and then we got some strings, you know, a couple of string players that were students, and, you know, we recorded violin and cello with it, and I did harmonies. And anyway, so that got on Dance Moms, and the girl did a dance to it, and her dance was called Faith Is All I Need. So
okay.
Faith Is All I Need was the title of her performance, and it was JoJo Siwa who did it. And that song has grown just organically. You know, I've never promoted the song, but the listens, the streaming, and it's just growing, and the you know, video views, and so that has grown organically over the past years, and it's amazing because it's such a good message, and I just feel like it was just fate, and it was just magic, and it was meant to be that song got heard, because I never dreamed that song would get heard by anybody.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
But it was so personal. Yeah, it was so personal and so authentic, you know, and yeah, that it has inspired people, you know, it's great. And so I hope to do that with my newer music too.
Yes.
You know, like Hidden Wings and Beautiful Truth. And I really hope those songs help, even if they help one person, even if they help one person feel a little bit better about themselves, then I've done my job.
You know, I think about that a lot, Angel. One person has, you know, a community of people and loved ones. Like, one person can have a large ripple effect impact in a positive way. So that one person is more than just that one person. And I think that's so cool to think about helping even one individual that then has a sphere of influence that it just ripples out everywhere.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sure that happens with your work. I'm sure that you help one person, but then it webs out from there in a network, and even just the energy of it. And, you know,
I do believe that. Thank you. And I love when people reach out and let me know that they've enjoyed an episode of this podcast or the work we've done together personally. It makes it so worthwhile to get those communications and feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we're bombarded with kind of negative or self-critical messages, you know, by the media, and that make us feel like we should be this or we should be that. You know, so your show is just really supportive of who we are. And, you know, it's really healthy, obviously, because you're a therapist, you know. So it's great. I mean, I think your work is wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you. No, you're so welcome. And I wonder how you want to end things. One of the things, it's another story. I know you had briefly mentioned to me about an author that flew you to Ojai, California to perform for their friends. And I just would love to see you have more of those experiences. That sounds just awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was Gay Hendricks, the author Gay Hendricks. He has a lot of books out. He has a long career. Yeah, he heard my song Beautiful Truth that I just performed.
That you just played.
And yeah, and he liked it so much, he sent it to all his friends. And then one of his friends flew me out as a surprise, and it was for his birthday. And it was great.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Ojai is awesome. What a cute little town.
I've been there a few times. I have friends that live there. It's beautiful, and it has an energy about it that just permeates you in a positive way. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, my husband's always looking at, you know, houses. You know, he'll, like, go on real estate and look at houses in Ojai, and it's, like, way out of our price range. but it's fun to look, you know.
It is, and for now, you never know what doors are going to be opening and that you could end up very much with a house in Ojai.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, my husband, Chris, went out there with me, and, yeah, we both are like, wow, this is great. Wouldn't it be great to be here all the time?
Yes. So how do you want to leave us today, Angela? What would you like listeners in conclusion to know and be left with? And definitely, again, where they can find your music.
Okay. Well, I'd like to leave it with, you know, I appreciate you said my name right, which is amazing and wonderful. So,
yes.
You know, most people, the spelling is... P as in Paul, R-E-D-H-O-M-M-E. It's like the name Prudhomme, but it's Freedom, and it's Angela Freedom. So they can find me on all streaming services of music, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, and all that. But also, I am going to be starting a live Facebook video show sometime in June. That's on YouTube, so they can find me. If they subscribe to me on YouTube, then I'll be posting the shows on YouTube. But it's going to be like where I talk about a Michigan wine. So I mention a Michigan wine, and then I play a song. So I might call it like wine and song or something like that.
Oh, cool!
But, it's going to be a little video show. You know, maybe I'll work up to a podcast. But so if people follow me on social media, they can get updates about that. And yeah, and it's been a pleasure. It's been fun.
No, thank you. It has been so wonderful today. Thank you for performing live and sending a clip of your song. I'm delighted to know you. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, delighted to know you too.
Yes.
It's been great.
Take care, Angela, and have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
Okay, you too.
I will.
Okay, all right, bye.
Bye. That concludes our show for today with Angela Preetam, songwriter, composer, musician. Thank you for being with us today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to being back with you next week. Bye.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from, for you, the listener of all things therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
With Lisa Tahir as she initiates a one-on interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors.
Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month
at patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
And let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Townsend.